I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John and mark it. We're going to be in John chapter 1 just for a few minutes later on. And we're going to start with our text that was read earlier on in 1 John chapter 1. So it's John chapter 1, Mark, and then 1 John, which is just before we get to the end of the Bible, chapter 1. Same writer, same author, but one is part of the Gospels and the other one is an epistle, one of three, because there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And I have entitled the message this morning, Heaven's Light for Earth's Darkness. Heaven's Light for Earth's Darkness. And I know on several occasions I've explained to you the different types of messages. There are expository messages, there are textual messages. Today is a topical message. And the topic is taken from verse 5 of our text. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And we need to just kind of stop sometimes and allow the word of God to settle in our hearts and in our thoughts. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. By now, you all know that I'm a news junkie, but it's getting harder and harder to watch. I tell my wife, I don't have to watch the local news because I know exactly what's going to come on every evening. Somebody's going to run into a building, there's rain on the forecast, and somebody in North Miami got shot. We live in a world that creates anxiety because of the darkness in our world. And so I find a lot of comfort in our text that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So no matter what I read or what I hear or what I see that creates a picture of darkness, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. We live in a world where there is hatred and rage and immorality and confusion and chaos and greed and lies and deception and on and on and on and on. And tragedies are sensationalized because bad news sells. But the wonderful news from the Word of God is that God is light. Now, why is that so important? Light eliminates darkness. Light eliminates darkness. If we walk in the light, we will not know darkness, the Bible says, which is saying we will not be affected by darkness because we're walking in the light. Our little grandson loves to go in my man cave, which is my garage. And he wants to play with all my toys. But do you know how I can get him out of the garage? Turn off the light. Poppy, Poppy, I can't see you. All right, let's go inside. So light eliminates darkness. And if we want to stay out of darkness or cope with darkness, then we walk in the light. Sounds to me like a pretty good life, don't you think? The psalmist said, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and thy tabernacle." So this morning, I want us to concentrate on heaven's light for earth's darkness. Jesus said when he was on the earth, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Simple statement. But in actuality, we will never understand the profoundness of Jesus' statement until we try to investigate the properties or characteristics of light. Then we get a little glimpse into why this is such a blessing to us. Light is so mysterious that the great Albert Einstein said this: for the rest of my life, I want to reflect on what light is. For the rest of my life, I want to reflect on what light is. Now, that man was an incredible genius. So that statement caught my attention, especially when you connect it to the fact that the Bible says God is light and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If the most brilliant man that ever lived on the face of the earth said, I want to spend my life looking into the profoundness of light, then I'm sure we can get some lessons from that. Why was this great man so fascinated with the mystery of light? And so I tried my best to discover what I could. And that's why I say I'm nervous, because there is no way I could cover that topic adequately in the few minutes that we have this morning. So I asked the Lord to just give me a little bit of an insight so that our hearts could be blessed and we can cope with the darkness of the world in which we live. I started out, as usual, by looking at the definition of light. And that showed me that it is so profound that people were just bumbling over themselves to try and put a definition. It just didn't make sense, what I was reading. They couldn't explain it. They struggled to explain it. Because like God, light is mysterious but glorious, which is why God chose it to express himself as to who he is. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So let us consider just a few properties of light. Let us consider just a few characteristics of light. The first one is Light tongue, behave yourself, is constant. The constancy of light. Light is the only essence in nature that is unchanging. Heat changes, water changes, sound changes, but the essence of light cannot change. It's always the same. Light is the only constant in our universe. And this is the foundation of which this great man Einstein built his theory of relativity. This is the cornerstone of physics. It revolves around light and speed. Now, they say that there are 12 people, only 12 people on the earth, who understand Einstein's theory of relativity. And I'm here to say this morning, I can't vouch for the other 11. All right, so you're listening. But seriously, light never changes. Now, bear with me a little bit. Because when I found these things, I said, Lord, I can't go up there and talk about this stuff. I mean, it's way above my pay grade. But I'm going to try, so bear with me. So I looked up the speed of light, and most of you know it. It's 186,000 miles per second. I cannot even fathom that. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. That's fast. But when Einstein was investigating light, at least you will leave here knowing what I spoke about, it was all relative. Speed is relative. So for example, if I'm standing still and you're driving your car at 50 miles an hour, When you pass me standing still, your speed is going to be 50 miles per hour. Am I correct? But if you're driving your car and I'm driving my car and we're going in opposite directions, but hopefully on different lanes, and you're doing 50 miles per hour and I'm doing 50 miles per hour, when we pass each other, relative to me, you're going at 100 miles an hour. Because I'm going at 50, you're going at 50, so it doubles. With light, that's not the case. So if it were possible for me to latch on to a light beam, and I'm going this way, and you latch on to a light beam, and you're going this way, I'm going at 186,000 miles per second. You are going at 186,000 miles per second. When we pass each other, there's no doubling, because light never changes. And I said, wow. My little pre-brain couldn't understand that, but visually I could grasp it. And that was the premise of Einstein's theory of relativity. Pastor, I'm way over my pay grade. But listen, this is also a fact of God, just as how it is a fact of physics. The Bible says in Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. And when Jesus was on earth, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changeth not, just like light. Here's another thing that I found out about light. Once you achieve the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, time stands still. So this is where we get all of these movies now, where you can go back into the past. Because if you go over 186,000 miles per second, then you're gone into the past. Woo! The Twilight Zone. So this is where all of this stuff came up. Light, time stands still at the speed of light. Do you know what the Bible says? Beloved, be not ignorant for this one thing. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. In other words, there's no time with God. God is eternal because God is light. We're the only ones who think about time. I can't wait until next December 2019 because I'll be retired. You think God thinks like that? Today is today, and tomorrow is today, and Tuesday is today, and Wednesday is today. Because in God's eyes, there is no time. There is just eternity. And that blesses my heart. Because that means that when I am in the presence of the Lord, there is no more time. I am with Him for all eternity. Somebody says, well, what am I going to do in heaven for all eternity? I don't care. I'll be in the presence of the Lord, and God is light, which means I will not be in darkness anymore. And then the third fact of light is very personal to me, and I want to share it with you. As I was preparing this message and I thought about the properties or the characteristics of light, I began to think about something that I've wrestled with for years. I've always wondered if I'll ever get a chance to sit with Jesus one-on-one and just have a private time with Him. Because I say to myself, there are going to be millions of people in heaven. You know, when would I, little me, get a chance to have an audience with the Lord? And that's how my mind thinks. You know, I think of these abstract ideas. When would it just be me and Him? Because I want that. I want to sit and tell Him thank you for the blessings that He gave me on this earth. Look at that story. You know, when we don't understand what's going on, we have to trust the character of God. He loves us and he never makes a mistake. And here it was, this dear lady lost a child, but God blessed her twofold with twin grandchildren. That's the type of God we serve. Sometimes it doesn't happen in our lifetime, but God has a reason for everything. And so I would want to give God thanks for the abundant blessings that he has given to us in this life. My children, my grandchildren, longevity of life for my parents, a good job, good health. But when would I get the time to sit down one-on-one with all of these people clamoring to talk to him? And then one of the properties of life helped me to understand that and gave me peace. In our island of Jamaica, we have a stretch of beach, 7 miles long. It's in a little village called Negril. And it's on the western tip of the island. And for 7 miles, you can walk on that white sand beach with beautiful turquoise water. And because it's on the western tip, you can stand there on an evening and watch the sunset. You can watch that glorious sun go down into the Caribbean Sea. And so as you stand there and the water is just kind of lapping over your feet at the shore, and that golden ball begins to drop below the horizon, there is a beam of light that comes from that sun all across the Caribbean Sea right to your feet. And no matter where you are on that 7 mile stretch of beach, that beam comes right to you. If there are 100 people, all of them are experiencing the same vision, the same ray, the same beauty, the same amazement, the same calmness as everybody else, extending right to their feet. And somehow God used that to bless me. I don't understand how, but I will have my one-on-one time with Jesus, just like all of us. Because God is light. And the same properties of light belong to God. No wonder David said, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it." And the same thing is true today. Because you see, what spilled over into my thoughts was, well, why are you talking about heaven and you're still on earth? And so I began to let my mind race again. And I said, well, if 1 million Christians get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to speak to God, does he hear every one of them? Do I have, when I'm on my knees talking to my Lord, is he hearing me like he's hearing the person up the street that's praying at the same time? And based on the word of God, I can give you the assurance this morning that not only does he hear, but he cares. And his attention is fixed on everyone individually. And I can bear that out because 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." We can have a one-on-one audience with the God of the universe. And that blesses my heart as I live in the world in which we live. I don't know how people do without prayer. I don't know how people do without communicating with the Lord. Because if you don't have that constant in your life, you can just go astray. Remember what the devil did with Eve? He asked the question, "Hath God said?" I think of the life of Samson. They didn't kill him. They just wanted to separate him from his God. That's what the devil wants. He wants to separate us. Whether it's because of schedule, or whether it's because of stress, or whether it's because of circumstances. If he can separate us from that relationship daily with our Lord, he's got us. And so whenever you're on your knees, along with the other 999,999 Christians, he hears you. The God that we love and worship changeth not. He's constant. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turn. That's a fancy word for change. When we were in Bible college, they taught us another fancy word, immutability. God changeth not. And that's one of the properties of light. The second property that I ran into that was interesting to me was the vitality of life. Not just the constancy, but the vitality of life. For this, I need you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Bible says in verse 1 of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. God is light. You see, folks, light has life-giving power. There can be no life in the physical world without light. All right, so we're in science class this morning. We've learned about Einstein's theory of relativity. Now we're going to learn about photosynthesis. You would think that I was a brilliant student in school. Not me. I came last every year. So I'm trying to make up for it. Photosynthesis. All you folks that love gardening. The oxygen that we need to breathe and stay alive is a byproduct from plants that soak up light and let off the oxygen. So if there is no light, we would all suffocate because the plants wouldn't have anything to draw from to produce the oxygen. That blesses my soul because that goes right along with what John 1, 4 says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The only way that we can live, the only way that we can survive is through the light that is given to these plants. And it's the same thing with God. We cannot live without God who is light. Listen to what Acts chapter 17 verse 28 says. For in him we live and move and have our being. So God is light, and through him we have life. Consider this. The very first words that came out of God's mouth recorded in the Word of God is what? Let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. But here's the big question for all of us theologians. Where did that light come from? What was the source of that light? And don't say the sun, because the sun wasn't created until the fourth day. So where did that light come from? It came from God. Because God is light. That is why these people have such a hard time defining what light is. Because they don't know God. If God ever turned off that light source, we would all die. And yet, my friends, vile men today suck up that God-given oxygen. Vile men today enjoy the privilege of life, but yet they will use their tongues to blaspheme God. That is why the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Because when a human being begins to read and understand what God has provided for them, and to understand how far short from the glory of God they have fallen, then the wise man will turn to God and say, be merciful unto me, a sinner. It is when we come face to face with God's mortality and God's power and God's presence and God's creation and compare it to our mortality that we say, How could I not trust God? And he has sent his son to die in our place so that our sins can be paid for. Not only does he create us, but he has redeemed us with his son, the Lord Jesus, or through his son. This is what blesses my heart, and this is how I'm able to deal with life. I filter it through the Word of God, and then I get the right perspective. Without this, life would be hopeless. But through this, through the light that God sheds by his Word, I can live this life and enjoy it. That's why darkness doesn't affect me, and it shouldn't affect you. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see how the two of them just intertwine? That's the gospel. And the sad truth is that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But praise the Lord, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So there is a constancy to life. There is a vitality to life. And then thirdly, there is a purity of light. Constancy of light, the vitality of light, and number three, the purity of light. Light is the only natural entity that cannot be corrupted. John 1, verse 5, from our text. And this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. When he was on earth, the Lord Jesus touched sinners, but sin never touched him. He was just as pure as the day he was born in the manger when he went to the cross of Calvary. Sin never had any dominion over him. He never thought a wrong thought. He never did a wrong action. Everything that he said and everything that he did was according to the Word of God. He fulfilled everything that God required, including the law. So he didn't have to die. He was perfect. But his love for us transcended everything else. And he took upon himself our sins and died in our place. So I think it's an insult to want to work our way to heaven. Because what we would be saying is, if I work my way to heaven, I'll get there. So you're bypassing the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. That's not good enough. So I'm going to work for it. No. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God salvation is free, not cheap, free. All we have to do is admit that we're a sinner. Ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. Turn away from those sins. Turn to God, that's repentance, and receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. And then the light of the world will live inside you. Spoke to the young people this morning about the fact that from creation, God wanted to dwell with us as human beings. From the day of in the Garden of Eden, his desire was to dwell with us. But man sinned, and so that dwelling, that interaction, that daily fellowship was broken. And so God, in an effort to continue that dwelling, instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. And then he put in the mind of David to build a permanent temple. Today we are the temple of God. That's what Paul says. What? Know ye not that you're the temple of God? You're not your own because you're bought with a price. So now we have the actual light of the world living inside us. And so I told the young people, as temples of God, we need to make sure where we take our temple, what we allow our temple to listen to, what we allow our temple to do and get involved with. We must keep our temples pure. We have the light of the world living inside it. The writer of Hebrews said that the Lord Jesus was holy, harmless, and undefiled. Light is pure, and so is God. Darkness cannot dispel light. Darkness cannot extinguish light. Darkness cannot conquer light. Light will always conquer darkness. You know, my wife likes to leave on the the downstairs light in the living room, and the light bill has been going up. Because the downstairs light has five of these bulbs, you know, the chandelier. So when she leaves it, even if it's on dim with that little dimmer switch, FPL is killing us. So she went out and she bought night lights. And she bought these fancy ones that are modern. So when she plugged them in, it was 12 o'clock in the day. Sorry, darling. So she says, come, let me show you how these things work. So she got a blanket, because obviously, you know, they're controlled by light. So we got a blanket, and she kind of put the blanket around it, and then the light came on. She said, that's not enough. It's not bright enough. I said, listen, let's test it in the middle of the night. Well, let me tell you, when I go downstairs early in the morning, now it's pitch black, the whole living room is lit up. And next month, our FPL bill is going to be lower. Because darkness cannot conquer light. The smallest candle will be illumined in pitch darkness. So no matter how dark this world becomes, it cannot stop the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, from shining through. And all God is saying is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. No matter what you have done, God will forgive you. And I think of John 3:19. You know, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So it's not that men don't understand. It's that they don't want to turn from their deeds to walk into the light. Because you know what light does? Light exposes. That's why a lot of crimes happen at night. That's why I used to love working at night, because I know I'm going to catch somebody doing something wrong. Darkness covers sin. Light exposes sin. So people don't want to walk in the light, because then they're going to be exposed. Isn't the Bible simple? I don't know why people make it so complicated. So I wrote on my paper, worse than a child being afraid of the dark is a man who is afraid of the light. There is no greater sin than the rejection of light. To reject light, is to refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus. The verse that everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because I know that within my heart, I know without a doubt that God can forgive every sin that a human being can commit. The only sin that God cannot forgive is the sin of unbelief and the rejection of his precious Son. So in our text here in verse 20, it says, John chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Our relationship with the light of the world, that's the Lord Jesus, is a direct reflection of our deeds. So sometimes we decide, you know, I'm not really going to go to church, or I'm not going to take communion this time. Because communion is a time when we examine ourselves. And we know the warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If we take it unworthily, judgment, what happened? Am I okay? Yes, I'm still there. All right. The other thing that people do is to walk, not directly in the light, but in the periphery. In the periphery. If we walk directly in the light, then we're going to be exposed. But praise the Lord for verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John chapter 3, verse 21. So in a world of darkness, I find comfort in the words of our text. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. found this little poem. It says, I see the darkness all around. I see so many people bound. Without a hope in life, they're lost in desperation. But there is a name above all names, and he is the light that shall remain for all eternity. Jesus, light of the world, let your glory fill the earth. Jesus, darkness will flee when your light shines on me. You see, we also have the privilege, we also have the requirement to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God didn't save us and then take us to heaven. He left us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to become like Jesus and attract others to God. So we need to make sure that our temples, our vessels are clean so that our light can shine brightly, just like the Lord Jesus. Yes, the world appears dark, but praise God that in him there is constancy, there is vitality, there is purity. That will encourage us, that will strengthen us, that will sustain us as long as we walk in the light as he is in the light. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. You know, I preached down in Jamaica a few weeks ago, and a lady came up to me after the service and she was in tears and she says, Hugh, I need to talk to you. I'm really struggling with something. And I said, well, call me and we can talk. I leave for the airport tomorrow. Give me a call. Okay, I'll call you. Never called. So when I was at the airport, I called her. She says, I'm in St. Thomas, you know, I'll call you when you get back to the States. You know what I learned from that lesson, Brother Blaylock? When God speaks to us in church and our hearts are tender, that's when we need to respond. Because as soon as we get outside and get back into our regular routine, that tenderness, that conviction just slips away. That's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if you're here as a Christian filled with worry and anxiety because of the continuous darkness in the world and the circumstances in your life, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And hear this. If we confess our sins, that means agreeing with God, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God speaks to our heart on a Sunday morning, we ought to respond no. So, well, man, people are going to see me and then they're going to be wondering what's going on. That person needs to come and get their heart right. 40 years ago when I got saved, every Sunday people would come to the altar. That's a dying breed today. And sometimes it's because of pride. And I'm not forcing anybody to come. But it's a privilege to have God speak to us in a tender, still, small voice. And we can respond to him. Walk in the light. Not just the light, but the midst of the light, not on the periphery. The periphery will result in guilt and defeat and anxiety in a dark world. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning I've just wanted to be a blessing and an encouragement. I know what I deal with in my own life. I see all the things that happen, and I see it double because I have a job that exposes me to the underbelly of society. So it's work-related, it's society-related, and sometimes it can get to you. But I thank you that we have the Word of God that brings us back into proper perspective and focus. Nothing can conquer the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. He's already got the victory. But we'll never experience victory in our life through him until we separate ourselves from anything that would destroy our fellowship with God. If there's one here today, Lord, I pray you'd speak to that heart and there trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And for all Christians who might be walking on the periphery, not in the midst of the light, but on the periphery, pray that you draw them back with strong cords of love.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.